When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
No money, diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I keep playing, got a sign. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of pie.
Welcome to episode 391 of Fourth and Dawn. I'm Gail Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn, Mr. Primo, a.k.a. Prime, in the building. And no cap, we got our asses kicked. I'm gonna be blunt. I'm gonna be the angry dad or uncle or big unk. You go there to see your team represent, and they really did shit the bed. At the end of the day, besides the weather being terrible earlier in the day, it just got worse during the game as the bad weather was from this team. I mean, it was from the lack of execution to the lack of intensity. To the I would say this game pretty much is the game that really made our weaknesses stand out. Anything that we've been talking about on the show over the last couple weeks, even months, about I normally call the middle of the field 7-11 for a reason, because it's always open. But against a team like this with a bunch of yak monsters, Deebo Samuel, Kittles, Ayuk, you name it, they got their yak. And when it comes down to it, there's players that are young, that are in positions of, they're learning as they go. But it comes down to you have to play your position. You have to be disciplined. Guys like Reed Blankenship in space, we've talked about. We talked about Sidney Brown in the slot, defending, Deebo and not staying in his zone, but taking him across the field. There's this discipline we're looking for from some of our younger players, but that's not how we're set up right now. But you're going to look inward to the leaders on this team to right the ship. Obviously, we're 10-2. We're still on the top, but we just have to get real with ourselves about this team at the moment. And I think last time we had a defeat and how we made some moves that made sense, like bringing a linebacker in Shaq Leonard. Maybe Sue comes back. That's the move that we've all been talking about in the offseason, saying him being on the bat phone. Well, the bat phone might have rung this week. But either or, it's a get right week. It's not there's a couple more days and we're in Dallas, so it's a really short opportunity for this team to get right. But they're going to have to get right. But Evan, how are you feeling,
my guy? Man. The holidays just passed, Thanksgiving, all that. I had my fixings of pie. I was done with the pie, man. I didn't want more humble pie to eat this past weekend. That sucked. I'm not going to lie. There's really no pretty way to paint this. We got our asses kicked. I don't know which part hurts more. The fact that frat baby Brock Purdy is the one that did it to us, or, the fact that we just absolutely got obliterated. Both of those facts hurt. Going into that game, one of the main things I was saying is kind of exactly what you were saying, the middle of the field and the dinking and dunking. I was determined. I think that the game plan should have been to try and eliminate that as much as you can. I get that with the way our linebackers and our safeties are set up, it's going to be tough to control the middle of the field like that. But ultimately, that was a piss poor job, man. they've got elite offensive weapons, and you have to respect them. And I think that they drew up the right game plan, and they stuck to their game plan, which is another thing. I mean, Christian McCaffrey in the beginning, he was getting stuffed in the run game, and I was feeling confident. But they stuck with their game plan. They kept on feeding Christian McCaffrey the rock, and eventually he broke through. And that's the type of shit I want the Eagles to do. I want you to stick with the game plan. I don't understand why DeAndre Swift has less rushing attempts than Jalen Hurts. That doesn't make any sense. We have good running backs on this team. We have a good offensive line. That's how we should be trying to start out these games, trying to establish our offense. And I don't know, man. I have been riding high on this team for so long, and as we should be. We got the best record in the league, and I think that I would be feeling a lot better right now had that been a close game. But the fact that we got blown out, I'm not hitting the panic button, but I'm sitting here like I don't think that maybe I was inflating how good this team really is. I don't know. I don't know what to think about this team right now.
Yeah, it sucks. There ain't really much to put to it, man. It was piss poor play calling. It was bad tackling. It was embarrassing. We got our asses handed to us. Next man up mentality just was not there. These guys weren't ready for shit. Regardless if they're third string linebackers or they're special teamers, it doesn't matter. They're in the NFL. They gotta be prepared for opportunities like this. You're on the sideline waiting for that moment every time. And those guys got in, and they sucked. They sucked horribly. I mean, I saw a comment just a couple of seconds ago. Muro is probably still running around the fucking field trying to figure out where McCaffrey's at right now or where Debo was going. Like, it's bad. It started off the first quarter, like, exciting, man. Like, we thought the momentum was there, but we weren't going to beat this team just kicking field goals. If we would have scored on every possession that we started off that first quarter with, we were up 21-0. We were up 21-0 if we would have scored on every possession, but we didn't. We couldn't get that ball in the red zone and in the end zone. And it sucked bad, man. Being there, like, it's just like the air just got sucked out of all of us watching that. And 49er fans and 49ers, just in general, man, it was their day. It was their day. They kicked our ass from the beginning to the end. And, hey, man, it was a rude awakening. It was a slap in our face, and I hope to God that, you know what I mean, it wakes these boys up for this upcoming Sunday.
No, I think now you take these L's, and now if these L's aren't learning lessons, then that's a problem. I mean, but again, over the last couple of weeks, we've on the show talked about how we like dissect our own team and how we pick apart what we do. We know exactly where our weaknesses are. But I think a team like this, I mean, you have like wide receivers that can play running back, two of them. You have a running back that can play a wide receiver. You have a tight end that can actually block and actually route you up and muscle you and get yak as well. So when you come up against a team with a specific skill set or three wide receivers that are really really good, or you got a couple elite ones and some that are versatile, this is what you have. I mean, again, you have your linebackers in a blender. We knew we had issues. I mean, that's the thing. Like, we knew we had issues with our safeties and linebackers in space. Mm-hmm. I mean, we talked about James Cook in our last breakdown. I was hoping that we saw the position that our linebackers were in last week with James Cook. But I was like, can you cover a Christian McCaffrey? And the same exact play you saw. You see some of the plays. You're starting to see the thing I'm looking at is you're starting to see week in, week out, teams use the same kind of plays, same kind of scheme, taking advantage of our discipline, our eyes, the way that our defenders are trying to guard some of these offensive players. I feel like they get lost in the sauce with some of this play action. And I think Shanahan, he's the king of pre-snap movement. You got some issues.
I think you just highlighted something there too, where you talk about how teams are kind of game planning and executing the same sort of game plan week after week now. I think that is kind of a tell that, these coordinators, listen, Desai has been good for the most part all year, but I think that Shanahan knew exactly the game plan to dial up against him, and, they handled it well. Look at this. Get going on.
Hey,
hey, man, listen, you gotta respect it. You gotta respect that tip.
There's no other way. I mean, you could, like, you at the end of the day, watch your team get dismantled at home. Now, again, you know, the fact that we played 3 games in 13 days, this team, you know, hadn't played in 10 days. Rest helps, but again, that doesn't take away from what they did with execution. Like, this, they executed perfectly. I mean, you probably talked about the first earlier stops when we were all pumping our chest. There was the energy in there. There was an energy level in there with the people in the stands. After that, you know, how many drives? Like 6 drives in a row where they put up points.
Touchdown. Yeah. At the end of that game, there was like 6 straight drives where they scored a touchdown.
Yep. I mean, at the end, like, at a certain point in the game, I was like, man, are they doing this on purpose? Because it feels that way. Because they're like, we're not stopping. We're gonna put up a 50 burger. And if you watched the 49er players come out in black attire, they had a mindset. I'm surprised half of them didn't have Air Force Ones, black Air Force Ones, the way that they played. But they did have their black attire on. I think Debo Samuel, the amount of shit talking he did pregame and all year, I think some players I would have thought would have took a little bit more offense to it. I was watching a Fred Warner podcast, not that I ever do that, but to go into detail to figure out the mindset of the 49ers. Me on my Tuesday, it sucks. I hate doing this stuff. Mm-hmm. But he was talking about they were doing a position drill pregame, and they kind of moved our players out of the way and their coaching staff out of the way. Just as like, no, this is our we're coming here. And I was like, bro, like at some point, besides Dom DeSandro, Big Dom, stepping up, he might have made the biggest play on the day.
That was one of the wildest things I had ever seen on a football field. First of all, him getting ejected just didn't even make any sense to me. Maybe I'm biased in that opinion, but I think that, you know, him getting hit in the face, I didn't see him hit the player. So,
yeah, what I was saying, Shanahan, you could see it from the sideline. He was screaming about why is he getting left on the field while his player got kicked off the field. I mean, he kind of had to expect it, like. In order for this shit to just pretty much like even out, they had to eject both of them. But
yeah,
it was wild seeing Don react the way he did, and you know what I mean. But hey, you know, he has that bodyguard mentality. So, you know,
was that natural instincts to protect someone, where he was like in, but you know, he's like, oh, all right, well, maybe I, you know, because the rumor is that they are going to come down hard on Dom, and you know, I'd hate to see him. I think it's pregame. I think, was it me and you, Prime, talking about it? About Dom's, he's been getting a lot of camera time. He's always been a celebrity to us.
Well, that was actually one of the funnier parts to me watching it on the TV broadcast, is like they were, it's obviously Eagles fans, especially this year. Like you said, there has been more of a coverage of Big Dom, and people are starting to find out who he is. But what I thought was funny is watching the national broadcast and like, how everybody's just talking about him on a first name basis. Like, who, what other team security guard does anybody know in the league? Like, the fact that they were just talking about, like, oh yeah, there's Dom. Dom is a well-known face throughout the league.
Now, two years ago, we were at the Autism Challenge, and Lurie was standing there. He was about to be, we ended up meeting Lurie, but he was like, oh, Dom was like, hey guys, you know, like, if you want to meet Lurie, you know, like I was like, bro, we're here to meet you. And he was like, what? He's like, what? I was like, yeah, bro. I mean, you're Dom. And he's always been cordial to us. And anytime we've met him out he's been cordial to a lot of people. He is a legend out there. But Rocky has a question, or he makes no. He says, why is our defense and offense look the same way every week? I don't see no difference in game planning.
I agree. I think that I think a big contributor to that is the fact that we, going into this game, we're 10-1. And I think that we were kind of smelling ourselves, thinking that we had the perfect game plan to draw out versus anybody. And it's I hate that I'm even going to say this, but like, this isn't like a Chip Kelly offense where you can just like, it's a plug and play type thing. It's like, You need to game plan for each individual team and take advantage of their weaknesses, like the 49ers did to us. So the fact that we were 10-1, I think that that is a contributor to us kind of sticking with a vanilla type game plan. I think that we got too comfortable and we thought that we had something that was unbeatable. And obviously that was proven wrong this past weekend.
No, I saw Go, bro.
I was saying, I totally agree with you, Evan. I think the fact that, you know what I mean? Like we were just at ease. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think we went into this game really as, I'm not going to say confident, but like, we just didn't really stay, come into this game as focused as we should have. You know, again, the play call and the defense, I mean, they found our weakest link and they just kept on attacking. No adjustments were made. Usually going into the second half of the game, adjustments are made. Nothing was done. It was just like, I felt like straight up, I felt like they just gave up. Like they just literally gave up. And I mean, that's why these boys were just shitting on us and they kept shitting on us and they had it every right. I mean, this was the big game that they marked on the calendar. This is the big game that they've been talking about since the loss they, you know, we handed to them last year. So, hey, they had every right. I mean, with all the shit talking we did in the very beginning of the day and now throughout the day, I mean, it was fun and everything, but man.
The part I hate about it, man, is just like the vindication that I think that they feel. Like I no doubt in my mind that, you know, a lot of those 49er fans are sitting there like, oh, we would have won that NFC championship game, blah, 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 blah.
Well, they got to be feeling like, because then I started thinking, I was like, well, they got to be feeling like how we felt leaving KC with a win on the road, a big, you know, vindication for them.
I'm not knocking them for it. I get
it. No, I'm just saying I felt like I internalized. I was like, I guess that's how I felt this week versus, you know, feeling the same kind of juice. Like in kind of, I mean, the Eagles players were probably, you know, wanting revenge against the Chiefs. And I feel like, obviously, it is what it is. But a big shout out to everyone who made the tailgate. That was very shocking to me, because if you would have looked at the forecast and what have you, it was raining. It was bad. And then all you guys just showed out. I mean, a lot of people in attendance. Look in the middle. There's Jennifer Slay, who brought the banana pudding, which was enjoyed by many. I mean, I actually didn't get any. I forget, somebody was like, I didn't get the banana pudding, man. And they were just in dire straits. So I was like, you know what? Here you go. You have it.
What a guy.
It's crazy.
I didn't get any banana pudding.
You didn't get one, did you? Well, I did. I made sure my ass got one of them. And then I turned around. It's crazy that both of y'all didn't get them, because then I find two left on the floor.
Is that the one you gave me?
No, I didn't give you.
No, you gave me one, and then I gave it to him
when we were handing them out. But then, like I'm saying, as we're cleaning up, I saw somebody put two on the floor and left them there. I'm like,
I was actually that was a. I'm glad for everybody that showed out. That was, to me, it was kind of an odd tailgate, in the fact that I feel like in the very beginning we were sitting there. And I think everybody was waiting out the rain. I think people had looked at the forecast and saw that it was supposed to rain until noon. And then people started to migrate down at noon. But it was the first time I had ever been down in the Eagles lots. And like, you know, we're there, you know, setting up as they open. But usually there's a line of cars waiting for the Phillies lot to open, waiting for all the other lots to open. That wasn't happening. I didn't see it. Patterson was completely empty for a while, and then all of a sudden, just like out of nowhere, everybody arrived all at once. So thankful for everybody that made it out, but that it was weird in the beginning, I'm not gonna lie.
We had a lot of people talking, asking prior to the lead up to the game about, like, oh, tell us about the parking, you know, like the parking situation again was even worse than last week, in terms of now oversized vehicles can't even park in the G lot anymore, and now they're still
beneficial to us,
but true, but you know, but now that they still have the sign parking. So being a early birds, we got there. I was the first car in the lot. We got our spot. But when you alluded to your point, Ev, I feel like I don't know, the whole vibe from this whole area has been sucked out. Like in terms of like fan, you know, I mean, it's good to have fans hyped up about, but it feels like some juice was taken from the lots a little bit. But that has nothing to do with the game.
It doesn't, but I got to be honest with you, man. maybe it's just that we're sitting here licking our wounds in our feels from this past game, but I'm not like, this is fucking Dallas week, bro. And I'm not feeling the juice right now either, man. Like, I don't know what it is.
What is it? So what is it that you need to feel the juice this week?
I need, like I said, I don't know if it is just me in my feels right now. Totally possible. Totally possible. It took me a solid month to get over that Super Bowl, bro. It's possible. Like, I'm just in my feels.
Like, all right, it happened. I mean, like, look, man, usually I would be probably as pissed as you, but honestly, I'm not that mad. I feel like we needed this. We needed a reality check, and we got it. Sucks that we got it by them. But we got it. We needed it because,
I don't like reality.
Yeah, but I get it. But, bro, 10-1, like, 10-1 has not been pretty at all. 10-1 has been a struggle, but we've been doing our thing to get there. But, I mean, it's just like, I don't know. I feel like I'm taking this as maybe we needed this at this time, you know what I mean, right now. So then hopefully we rebound come Sunday and ride this thing out. So that's how I'm looking at it. I'm going to be straight up. Like, yesterday, I wasn't talking no football. I let the 49er fans have their moment. I had two at work. They had every right to go ahead and speak it up. I'm sitting there, and I'm taking it all in. And then, you know, I get home. I didn't even see the signing of Leonard. I didn't even find out till like, almost 9 o'clock last night.
Yeah.
I didn't even know what happened. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't on no social media and nothing. I was just pretty much to myself, but listen, I'm gonna be straight up. It was an ass whooping, man, and it was just an ass whooping, and I just had no choice but to stay quiet because I think I wasted all my energy on that shit talking. I was
now, after the game, there was a moment where a bunch of fans, shout out to Aaron, Jewey Macon, from the Eagles Nest SD. And there's Jose, who came in from Fresno as well, he lives close to Pete Nathan country. But then we were all sitting there talking and kind of like, Nady was out there, and we just all, everyone's trying to make a sense of that ass whooping. But and then I saw Prime. He was having a moment. You want to zoom in, Ev, here?
Yeah, I got you. Hold on.
As I hold the phone, he was just looking off into
He was in his Stephon Diggs area. You got to touch the screen there, pal.
Yeah, the light went
out. There we go.
He was just. He was just looking off into space, and I was like, "Man, this guy's."
He was all of us. Stephon Diggs watching the other team win and all the confetti.
Yeah, that's what it felt like, man. You're looking back at that stadium and like, did that just happen? Did we really just get our asses handed like that? And yeah, we did, man.
I think that was the biggest surprise is the ass whooping aspect of it, because I think a lot of people went into this game with the realistic opinion of like, we could cough this one up. This is a possible loss that we're going into. But I think that everybody that thought that was of the belief that it was going to be a close game. It was going to be a one score game where it was going to come down to the final possession. Midway through that third quarter, I watched the entire game, but man, I was checked out. After you reach that point of like, you know, we're not fucking coming back from this.
And then
pile it on, bro, and they just fucking kept scoring. I was like, this is fucking miserable, man. I just started doing some wash. No. I just started fucking doing anything else.
There was no energy left in us, man. There was none.
I purposely, you know, we waited to the end, and I don't know if I was I just was like, you know what, we deserve that loss. I'm gonna sit here and look at what I'm seeing right now, because you're as you know, teams are leaving, as the squad is leaving. Mm-hmm. This is what the stadium looks like. It was nothing but red left, celebrating. Celebrating in our stadium, and I was like, that, you know, as Debo runs by the crowd and waves by to the crowd, I was like, bro, they, and again, like, shit talking aside, you got to take the good with the good and the bad with the bad, and we're gonna be taking our bad. Like Ev, I am a little depressed. I never eat dessert before dinner. I had a banana split.
Oh shit!
I haven't had a banana split in probably probably a year, 2 years. And I felt like I needed a banana split today. So I pulled a page right out of Hollis's book.
Yeah, breakfast I was gonna say peach cobbler.
Dessert before dinner.
Yeah, that's tough, man. And you know, as for Debo, like maybe that is one of the things that hurts the most is just that man, he talks so much shit, but he backed it up, dude. He scored 3 touchdowns. I mean, there's not much more he could do in that game to back up, you know, all the shit he was saying. That was the game that he had circled in his calendar, and that man fucking showed up. He balled out on us. And I think that it's very possible that we run into them again in the playoffs. And it's not like I'm sitting here thinking that we don't have a shot. But I think the next time, if we end up going up against them, we better give them some more respect, better come to play with a better game plan, because that shit ain't going to work.
Yeah, the stat from here is from Rube. Rube and Frank says Debo Samuel became the only the 7th player to score 3 touchdowns in the second half against the Eagles and the first to do it in Philadelphia since running back Roy Shivers of the Cards in 1968.
I remember that. And,
yeah, when yeah, Ev remembers. Ev remembers. Now here's another stat. 5 quarterbacks have passed for 300 yards with at least 3 touchdowns against the Eagles this year. Mac Jones, Kirk Cousins, Sam Howell, Dak Prescott, Brock Purdy.
That's fucking embarrassing.
So I think a lot of them are just taking the same page out of everyone's offensive scheme playbook and finding the, you know, again, our tight ends have been getting, I mean, our we haven't been able to guard tight ends or running back, the seams are susceptible. But I do think lack of speed is on full display.
Yeah, can we talk about one thing that I think is a heavy topic on the timeline, but let's talk about the run game, man. Why are we drifting away from the run game? Why is DeAndre Swift getting 6 carries in the entire game? Where's Rashad Penny? I don't understand.
I'm hearing a lot of Rashad Penny talk as of late, but and then Sirianni talked about why Gainwell, because we know Gainwell is the 2-minute back, and they love what he does in space. But Rashad Penny, I don't know what the deal is, why they're not, you know, utilizing him again. They have Boston Scott. They'd rather utilize Boston Scott versus Rashad Penny.
Then why do we go grab him? Why didn't we save that roster spot for somebody else, man? I don't get it.
Ivan says we haven't made motion adjustments since the Super Bowl. Nothing new, to be honest. But again, when you see like some of the younger players making mistakes, we're talking about tackling. You know, Eli Ricks lost one on Jennings, got muscled out on that one. Morrow, we're talking about a 48 yard run that could have been halted.
I'll tell you what, man. Brian Johnson is lucky as hell that Devontae Smith is a dog. Because that 3rd and 19 screen to Devontae Smith, I wanted to rip my hair out when that play was first drawn up. And thank God that, you know, Devontae was able to get the down out of that because he's shifty and he's a playmaker. But that was a fucking awful call, bro. What are we doing? Third and 19 with a screen. Like, what is going on?
Yeah, but it works.
Man.
When I was sacked as hell, I was like, yeah, but that showed how much Devontae wanted that. I'm like,
he wanted it. He definitely wanted it.
But I was seeing other things on the timeline of people talking about who is exactly responsible for the, I'd say, the lack of cohesion of the play calling. Because we know that, you know, as much as Brian Johnson gets the brunt of all this, we know that it's a two-man thing with Sirianni coming up with the game plan. Mm-hmm. Now, we do remember at some point in time when Sirianni was calling plays and then it became the Steichen show. At what point or where exactly is this? Is it a 60-40 thing? Is it a 40-60? Who is to blame on the game plan? Now, we all know that Frank Reich is out there, who's a big part of that Super Bowl run in terms of coming up together with a game plan. You know, there's a guy that's – you bring him in as a consultant to get this back – get this shit back on the right on the right wave. I don't know, because at this point in time, I'm like – I'd like to see more execution.
You really see that happening, though? I don't think they're
going to go that far. Yeah. I mean, there's one play. I don't know what the hell. It was a two-man route. We had eight people blocking four 49ers. It's not like the front is that all world that you need eight guys to block them. And we still got pressured. And, like, that was one of the beginning drives. I was like, what was the – Where's the dump off? Where's the checkdowns? Why is there only a two-man route? Like, who designed that? Swift is like in there blocking, like when he could be out as a dump off. Like, in my point, like I think we need to just Jalen Hurts. I don't know what it is the last couple of games, but is not seeing it as clear as he normally sees it. And there's important times that you can see the play where Stoll. Is he got behind his defender. If he would eat, and he's looking in that direction, if he just throws it, there was hesitation. Even on the play to Gainwell, where he got the first down, hesitation on the screen. There's a little hesitation.
You segued right into where I wanted to head to next, which is Jalen Hurts. And, I mean, there was some Carson Wentz-esque plays going on in that game, man. Holding on to the ball too long. And I get it, man. If your receivers are tied up downfield and they're well covered, you can't throw the ball down. But you could throw the ball away. You could do that if you have the pressure coming at you and you have had the ball in your hands for 5-6 seconds, dude. You got to get rid of the ball. Your internal clock as a quarterback should be 3 seconds in the NFL, man. And the fact that was happening, that one play where he was just scrambling around in the pocket and then he just got tripped up over his own feet. I was like, it's just sloppy, man. And I know that isn't who Jalen Hurts is. I think that those were kind of plays that were out of the ordinary for him, but ultimately it contributed to our loss and it didn't look good. And it's something that needs to be addressed. You don't just get to, you know, nobody is scotch-free of criticism. And, you know, he didn't have his best game by any means either.
Now, Todd, he says, I'm not too worried about this loss. We have too much leadership in this locker room to not make this a game a kickstarter to another winning streak. I mean, you just got to believe that. Just got to believe that it's a get-right week. And I've been asking. I was like, if they do sign Sue, I've been waiting for Sue to come back. Because
it ain't no believing. It's you gotta get right. You gotta fucking get right at this point. You gotta go into Dallas and you have no choice but to be right. I mean, we can't play around. The Super Bowl window, like I seen that being mentioned here. Yeah, the window's there, and you know, we pretty much it's pretty much on us to get through this window. I mean, like, I'm watching some of the football. Last night's game was way better than ours, and that was a good game between the Jaguars and Bengals. I'm watching this kid.
Two backups, no less.
Exactly, and I'm watching this kid on the Cincinnati. Yo, my man was balling his ass off, like, just dumping off the passes. I'm counting. Like, I've never done this. I literally went to my watch and started hitting the stopwatch on how quick this guy was releasing the ball. Where did that go? Jalen was on point with that last year. This year, he's holding on to the damn ball too long. Yo, you saw it for ourselves, bro. He had open routes. The cuts were being made. Dump that ball off. Let it go. And he just didn't have – it's like he don't have confidence in anybody. Or does he even have confidence in himself? I don't know. I don't get it.
Or is that injury? Or is it an injury when, in terms of, like, stepping up into the pocket, taking a hit? Like, is that knee – still affecting him? I mean, it could be a couple of things, but like throwing the ball and, you know, I've been watching, you know, a lot of cut ups from JT Sullivan in the QB school where he talks about his little hitch when instead of just winging it, it's a it's a, you know, a delay.
I think there's another whole issue with our offense too. And then this is something that was brought up by my friend Brian, but we don't have any middle game. We have the deep ball and we have screen passes. We don't have a middle passing game. And like to not have that at all in your arsenal, it doesn't really make much sense to me. I mean, if you think about guys like Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison, they did for 15 years, 7-yard slants, and they chewed up defenses every single week. Why can't we throw slants with AJ Brown? He's one of the most elite wide receivers in the league. Why isn't that not just fucking all day long? Slants.
Yeah. I mean, I do. I was saying that the prime during the game was like, why don't they just go back to the slants? 3-step drop, boom, throw it. Like, just, you know, it's frustrating.
They were killing us with the slant. I mean, Debo was killing us. Why can't we do it? We got the wide receivers just like they do. So
Now Brandon says, I saw that gingerbread man on the big board during the game. I just want to reference. Shout out to Zach and JR. They were at the tailgate. I also saw them at the end of the game. I was taking shots to everybody just to get an idea of where people were at.
Mike.
Your mic. This guy, he wants to talk about my microphone all the time. But in reality, you know, he's got that nonsense going on. Mr. Crinkle Crackle, if you will.
How about now? You good?
You sound like you're in an airport now.
Good now?
You got the wrong mic connected.
I'd rather take the airport than that.
Yeah, whatever the hell was just going on there.
Let's see. Getting back.
Wait, everybody, while we sit through some technical difficulties.
Getting back to my mic. So, like I said, I was taking mental notes all throughout the game. And as we were getting whooped up, I saw Zach and JR having a moment of clarity. It wasn't fun anymore. And they took the gingerbread. Well, Zach did. But, yeah, man, wasn't fun. Wasn't fun.
Yeah. And the whole, like, I'm still, my head is just spinning in the fact that, like, we were going into the season and I was looking at our running back stable. And, like, we have upgraded from, you know, having Miles Sanders, Gainwell, and Scott to having guys like DeAndre Swift, Rashad Penny. You know, Gainwell, I was thinking was going to be the third running back off of that. But we go out and we get all these pieces and then we just don't use them. It makes no sense, man. It makes no sense.
And we've been talking highly about it off season, leading into the season, and then beginning of the season, throughout the season, and it's just like, what the fuck? Like, why have them? Why go all out to get these guys, and we're not using them the way we should? I mean, we got four monsters in that position, and not being used. Don't get it. I mean, Seth Joyner, everybody's been seeing it. He's been going all crazy. Him and Slate going back and forth about the shit. Yo, it's the truth though. Like, why get away from something that we feel can, you know what I mean, can better ourselves, and they just don't utilize it.
And another thing that's kind of in the back of my mind as well too is that, like, this whole thing with Shaq Leonard. Like, I'm not trying to sit here and be cynical, be a pessimist, anything like that. But he was tried out by multiple teams, and it took a while, took a week and a half for him to get signed, and he was just outright released from the Colts. I don't know, man. Like, we have been singing the praises of Nicholas Morrow this entire season, and he had an awful game this past game. And I think that we do need help at linebacker, but, like, what is a realistic expectation for Shaq Leonard to come in here? I don't think he's going to be a saving grace for us.
I think he's going to be a Band-Aid. I feel like in terms of FBI, football intelligence, I feel like instincts, I think wingspan, he's got length. And he's like in the passing lanes, but I think I saw some cut ups of him in some missed tackles where some people think that the old Shaq of old would never missed those open field tackles. But coming off the back surgery, also he had a concussion and a broken nose, missed games in 2022. But I feel like what we have in terms of our linebackers that are playing for us. These are all guys that have been cut at one point in time. Mm-hmm. And obviously we thought N'Kobe Dean was going to right the ship there, him going down with injury, and then Zach Cunningham with the hammy. You had Miles Jack earlier on who didn't want to compete and left. And it's just now that you have Sumerin, who's one of the higher paid UDFAs.
Man.
And the guys that have just been cut. But my thing about Moro is I like what he's brought to the table for who he is. Like, I cannot be angry at him for knowing what I know who he is as a player to be guarding McCaffrey. Like, it's going to be a mismatch 100 times out of 100. So I don't – but at the end of the day, like, you still have to get better at the position. And this is the best that we can do at this moment.
Well, I think that – well – I think that N'Kobe Dean was originally drafted, obviously, to fix our linebacker woes or at least help. But, like, just think about in the draft if we would actually give a shit about the linebackers. Like you just mentioned, our linebacking core is a bunch of guys that have been cut. We got Misfit Island as our linebacking core. And, I mean, it's kind of the same rinse and repeat bullshit every year because we don't address the problem that is that we're weak at that position every single year. We get torn up by tight ends and running backs every single year because of it. And listen, I understand that we win games, and maybe that is why Howie doesn't want to give the respect to that position, because ultimately at the end of the day, we still have the best record in the league. But I don't know, man. That's an entire layer of the defense that has been just disregarded for a long time, man. Mm-hmm.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Kiki says, reality check is one thing, but the whooping the birds took was something altogether. Pete says the ass whooping might be a blessing in disguise. I agree.
I hope so.
Because I feel like, again, but yeah, like, you know, it's crazy how you beat this team is 10-2, top of the NFL right now. But I think it has some Eagle fans questioning, I'm not saying all of them, but there are some Eagle fans questioning where in the hierarchy are the Eagles in reality. Like, okay, you lost
among
to the 49ers.
The rest of the NFL, you mean?
Of the elite. Mm-hmm. You got the 49ers, the Cowboys, you got the, you know, the Chiefs. Well, we beat the Chiefs.
I think that's, if there's one thing that you can look at positively, is that all of these teams that you just mentioned, all of the elite teams, they've lost games that they shouldn't have lost. So I think it's kind of like one of those weeks that potentially we just need to take our medicine. And you're right. We could bounce back next week, and this could just be that game that we needed to figure out, you know, that what we needed to do right. But ultimately, as we're sitting here right now, a couple days removed, it feels worse than that.
Todd says, sometimes you need a good ass whooping. Me being a redheaded stepchild, I know this firsthand. Now, David says, 100%, what team and play calling are we going to get in Dallas this week? Is a loss or squeaking by a win going to be enough? I don't know.
A win is, yes.
If we don't come out pissed, dominant, and make them our, you know, all hell is going to break loose around here. I just think, you know, and we know that Dallas plays tough at home. Uh-huh. But me and Primer going into the belly of the beast. Mm. We're going down there to see it firsthand.
When are you guys flying in?
We fly out Friday. We're putting our streak on the line, man, because, you know, every game we've been at together this year, away. We're undefeated.
You got to give a hat tip to Philly Sports Trips for putting that trip together. Make sure you follow them at Sports Trips PHL for more information. If you're looking to get a ticket to the tailgate, there's still tailgates to the ticket. There's going to be a pep rally as well. I think I think I'm ready. Like I there's no hesitation. Like mm-hmm. there is a hesitation in Hurts's throw lane. There's no hesitation for me to get on a plane with Prime. You know, Prime gonna hold me down if there's turbulence.
I got you, man. No way, I'm not gonna record you. I'm a FaceTime, you know, I'm a FaceTime.
I'm gonna be look at you shaking.
No, Pete, I'm not wearing this hat, man. And for people that are asking about my hat, like, yo, this is my joint right here. You know what I mean? You see
you know what I mean? This guy got the
I love the Puerto Rican. You
know what I mean? Yeah, you know what I mean? I got
very on brand.
Y'all want a hat? Noggin.com, man. You know what I mean? I bought a noggin for my noggin. All right? That's what I did.
AJ said that your picture looking over the off into the space.
Yeah, that's the album. Yeah, you gotta send me that pic because I'm gonna go ahead and use that as the album cover.
Shout out to Emily. She says, "Love you guys. Can't wait to see you in Dallas." I can't wait to meet a lot of you all in Dallas. I think overall, I feel like it's just a vibe that needs. We have to bring the form like Voltron. Bring the energy. It's got to be hype. I'm open and willing to say that. I think KC's barbecue is going to be better than Dallas. I don't know. Brian?
I don't know, man. I'll definitely determine that. I mean,
we'll need a
verdict. I'm looking forward to the states up in Dallas. I heard, you know what I mean, they some mean ones. But look, man, going back to the tailgate, I got to say it was cool meeting some new faces on Sunday. That was pretty neat. A lot of people from the West Coast coming through. I mean, yeah, they travel tremendously, man. They really show a lot of love to the squad. And you know, you got Ivan, you got Mark. What was the kid's name? The new kid that came. What was his name? Jose? Rick?
Jose.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, Jose's first game, first sporting event ever. And you know what I mean, I'm glad he got to enjoy it with us. So you know what I mean. And the fact that people walked out of there just loving the hospitality we showed them, it's always good to hear. So, I mean, it was some type of good news and brightness on Sunday.
And I'm not going to lie. I kind of am vibing with our new spot as long as we can lock that spot down. Having that gate next to us and Primo with the megaphone, that's great stuff.
Close to the bathrooms as well.
Oh, you love that.
Hey, oh, no, man. It's like, yeah, I'm not going to lie, though, Evan. Like, As I'm watching this game and I'm watching this ass whooping, I'm like, did I overdo it? Is this a punishment to me? Because I mean, I'll stop.
Did anybody anybody recognize you on the walkout? Just like, hey, you were the megaphone guy.
Nah. And I mean, listen, if anybody was to find me, they had every right to come here. Because I mean, all the 49er fans I gave shit to on the way into that stadium, it was just like, oh, shit.
Shout out to the Freakin' Reekin official. If you haven't seen, he does the NFL players with accents, with Spanish accents. He had a great time. He was like,
he had a great time.
Shout out on his IG page. The gingerbread man wakes up. He says, wake up, call boys. We'll be just fine. I don't know. Will gingerbread costume ever make it out to another game after that ass whooping?
And in regards to that, profile picture you had there, Ben Van Sumeren with that beware of dog mask or beware of dog sign above his locker. Sir, you should probably do something first.
Jacob said, Evan said, I was checked out, so I added more nuts to my beer. Kiki's is numb. I think that would be a one word to describe the last couple of days. I was just like, there's a lot of hurting people, man. Like, but again, I'm like, it's so weird that the Eagles have lost what, six games, including the Super Bowl, since 2022. Mm-hmm. That's not a lot of games. So no, the fact that you catch an L here, I saw Key had tweeted out that stat, like we haven't lost, including Super Bowl, six times.
Right. Yeah, no, that aspect is impressive. It's just a matter of, I don't know, man. We have done so well this year as far as staying ahead of the rest of the NFC, locking down that number one spot. But here we are, you know, after what feels like we, for a while, we're just creating this long distance between us and anyone below us. Now we're going into a game with Dallas where, you know, if things don't go our way, we're tied at the end of the game. So big, man. This is the biggest game of the year so far.
Pete Nathan said Debo backed up his talk, but Moira off the top rope, still an ass. Okay. I mean, for the first time in a long time, I don't know if there's an offensive MVP. Are we going to force ourselves into one?
No, Devontae? There ain't no awards. No awards.
Because yeah, no I'm not feeling anything offensively this week.
Nothing was valuable about that game. I mean,
is there any defensive?
No.
Because if someone was asking,
I'll give you a defensive MVP, like a serious one. I mean, for a guy that had received as much trash talk over the past year, Debo calling him trash, all that, Bradberry wasn't even targeted. He let up 0 yards, wasn't targeted. So good job by Bradberry. He held his own. Everybody else got burnt.
No, Slay had a good game. Slay had a good game.
I'm with Moore. Big Dom gets the player to get.
Because you saw the energy, the fight. Mm-hmm. I've never seen a guy like Dom get a standing O. He got a standing O on his walkout.
Yeah,
it's very very rare that you see that.
One of the gingerbread men, JR, brings up a good point. That was, I mean, Nolan Smith was the first overall pick, guys. 30th overall. Where's my man been?
You know, I had this thought after the game. I was like, as much as we all like Nolan Smith and what he brought to the table, I said in my head, I'm like, was there any safeties that we could have just plugged in? Not that we draft safeties in the first round or like, you know, could there have been another player? Because my thing is, we ended up getting injured, but like, my thing is, I hate to draft a player in the first round and not give you an immediate impact.
I mean,
now we know guys are in front of him, but he's getting some reps. But I'm just saying, I just hate to, like, if you get drafted in the first round, you should be playing.
You should be contributing at least more than he has, and I get the point. That's a stout defensive rotation that he's involved in. So I get that he's not getting as many snaps. But you know what? Neither is guys like Brandon Graham. But Brandon Graham gets home. And maybe that's unfair because Brandon Graham is a longtime veteran in this league, and he knows what to do. And Nolan Smith is still green. But ultimately, they were both first-round picks. Brandon Graham was a first-round pick, and Nolan Smith was a first-round pick. And I need to start seeing some contributions out of Nolan Smith.
You know, his story arc is just beginning. But again, I'm just saying, like, the way that our team is set up and the way that we're deficient in some areas, you're just like, bro, we could have got some more speed on the back end. You know, I know Ev had his old Kyle Hamilton for president movement a couple years ago before the draft. I love both players anyway, but it is what it is. I think Donahue with the Ricky said, not gonna lie, I thought we were gonna whoop their ass. It didn't. It is what it is. The team was flat. They came in ready. Kudos to them. It is what it is. Robert M says, I hate to be negative, but it is going to take a miracle for us to win in Dallas Sunday. Defense is terrible. Play calling is spotty. Dak basically turns into an immortal when he plays with us in Dallas.
Oh, Robert, get ready for that miracle, bro.
How many times have they won straight down there? They've had a nice little ride at home, but like,
the Cowboys, you're saying, or the Eagles?
Yeah, I mean, they play well at home, but the streaks are meant to be broken. We saw Seattle go down there and actually put up a good fight. The Seattle defense – had to go up against 12 players because they had the ref on their side.
It all comes to the play calling, bro. I just hope the guy that whatever playbook they had this past Sunday, they fucking threw it away, threw it in the fire, whatever it is. Get rid of that bitch because it just ain't fucking working, and you're not going to go ahead and beat Dallas with that shit. So come up with something new, work on something new, fucking put it together, and let's go, man, because I want this game. Now I want this game more than ever.
Jacob with the stat here, Slay allowed 33 yards, Bradbury was zero, and our linebackers allowed, I think it was 171 yards. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that was if you guys checked our Thursday show, the breakdown. Shout out to Tim Kincaid in the building. But I felt like that was our one thing, yet the Yak Monsters. I mean, how moving forward, you got a good tight end, you got a good interchangeable running back, you got some interchangeable wide receivers. Are we going to stop those players? You know, it would be nice to have Avante Maddox back for the playoffs. It would be nice. Like, and the other thing was how everyone was like, oh, the 49ers, when they're healthy. I was like, when the Eagles, when they're healthy too. I mean, we're depleted of our linebacker core and our starting tight end. You know, when this team is healthy, can they get it right?
Ultimately about Christian McCaffrey, that trade, let's just look at it from a non-biased standpoint. That has to be one of the best trades that has happened in NFL history, acquiring Christian McCaffrey, right? I mean, if you just look at his body of work, that he has more touchdowns than he has games played in San Francisco. The dude is damn near impossible to stop, man. I don't know. I'm a little bit envious. I think that, bro, I'm just saying, last year he was on the block, and Howie Roseman is Mr. Splash Trade.
Listen, you want a Debo?
We got running back problems. I wouldn't have minded him.
Who's this?
CMC.
I think, didn't he try?
Didn't try hard enough.
Oh, this guy.
Yeah.
I don't know about this. I don't know about Rashad Penny. I mean, my thing, not saying that he's not a good player. I was just wondering if he's not serviceable in space on these routes, is that why they don't believe in him? Does it make the offense one-dimensional when they know Rashad Penny's in the game? Oh, there's only going to be a limited number of plays that they're going to run with him, or is it like a, you know, a scheme thing that they're like, you know? But my thing is, like you said, Prime, like, why, if he's holding a roster spot, is he just the depth for the playoff run, or are we gonna, but again, that doesn't really make sense either. But you know we had a lot of Trevor fans. Is it Trevor?
Not Trevor. Lawrence? Who are you talking about?
No.
Oh, Trey Sermons. Who are you talking
Trey,
about?
Trey Stance. And I had to ask the running back coach. I'm like, why are we not using him? This team's got a lot of weapons, to be honest.
The team has a lot of weapons, but we're misusing them, man. We got to read the instruction manual on how to use these weapons, bro. Like, because they're not being used to their full effectiveness.
A shout out to Bob from Down Under. He's got a lot of cuss words in his comments. He's very angry.
Oi.
If you go back to a lot of these big plays, I saw the Jason Avant show today and Quentin Michael's show. And they were like, just that'll make you kind of feel better that some of the guys that were making these mistakes are kind of like Jags in terms of our defense. But like now, how do the Eagles fix this? Are they going to start making some adjustments and giving other guys some? And the other thing was the blitz. There was a stat out there about blitzing. Teams are super effective when we blitz, but I've been telling Prime they need to start sending nickel blitzes. Start sending these guys if you want some positive. Shaq Leonard is a good blitzing linebacker. He does a
put your good. Fucking hands up. Put your hands up.
Do you think that, and this is something that a comment that I have kind of seen a couple times throughout the show, but Pete's talking about Brian Johnson not serviceable as a play caller. Do you guys feel, and I listen, like, you know, we're 10-2 now. Obviously things have been going well, but ultimately, would you have preferred an offensive coordinator that has some experience in this league versus just giving a rookie guy a run when we are in the Super Bowl window?
No, well, I think go ahead, Prime.
I had already thought that as soon as we signed him, yes, it was on my mind. Why do we go this route? But, you know, again, I'm going to go ahead and ride it out.
I think about situations last year with Vic Fangio, and obviously he's a defensive coordinator, but like that was a guy that I would have liked to have kept in the building. I like Sean Desai, and I think Sean Desai, aside from this past game, has been a good defensive coordinator this year. But ultimately, he's a defensive coordinator that has experience in this league. He came from Seattle as a coordinator, and, you know, he kind of knows what he's doing. Brian Johnson is a guy that we gave a chance because he has that relationship with Jalen Hurts, but he doesn't have experience doing this in the league. And ultimately, like, there could only be so many good teams, and you only can be good for so long. So, like, the window is a finite amount of time, and to be able to go into these seasons with a guy that's a rookie, I don't know, man. It's
and you do think about that in terms of in the Super Bowl, was our defensive coordinator locked in? Was Gannon locked in? If it was a different scenario, a veteran coach, would he been more locked in? But again, I think they like to hire from within. And you feel like, you know, their coaching tree is intact. A lot of our coaches have been getting plucked over the years. You look at ever since the Super Bowl season, year after year, our players are getting plucked.
Well, that's why I think it's funny is when I saw that
coaches are getting plucked.
When I saw that report just a couple weeks ago that was talking about there's a possibility that Brian Johnson's going to have some people calling for head coaching jobs at the end of this season. I'm just like. True. I don't get it, man.
I
didn't understand why anybody wanted Gannon to be their head coach either. So, you know,
there's some like from an organizational standpoint, like if he's not actually calling the plays, or if, you know, seeing how Sirianni operates, how if they could take anything from the Eagles, they're going to do it and try to implement that into their system. Like you see a lot of our guys went to Cleveland. Became GMs,
to hire a head coach just to try and get some knowledge feels like that's the job of a consultant in my opinion.
I wouldn't say the knowledge. I would just say if they carry themselves well, and if there's a name, they made a name for themselves, so relationships, it's really about relationships. And I did feel like Gannon would get a head coaching guy job when I met him. After I met him, I was like, okay, I see why he would get one.
Deuce also out there and available.
Deuce, I mean, come on, man. Like, I seen, like, it took, well, he had to go down to, like, not a Senior Bowl, it was
Detroit. He went out to Detroit.
No, but he went to one of them all-star games to call plays. I forget. He was down there. And I'm like, Deuce should have got an opportunity to call some plays. I'm just saying. It's been a while, man. It's been a while. How Kiki said, "This is you never heard a sound so dejected. You should check that Super Bowl pod." Kiki.
We were pretty down in the dumps after that one. I'm not gonna lie.
Now, I think when that Davey brings up a point about Shane Steichen, when he made that change, I think Steichen, that offense looked different, right? Immediately.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Pete Nathan coming in here with the cooking comparisons. He says having Brian Johnson with the Eagles offensive talent is like having a bad cook with the best ingredients. The food coming out of that kitchen not going to be good because they'll find a way to ruin it.
Oh, ew. very creative.
Nobody better.
Shout out to Troxel. Trox hit the happy hour today. Shout out to you, Dustin. I would call him Dustin. Trox, what are you drinking? That's a question. Dave Spadaro said today that this is Nick's offense with input from the coaching staff. No wonder it looks like 2021 before Shane Steichen took over. Nick is pissing me off, says Davey.
Like, I guess that would make kind of sense, though, because like how I just said, how Brian Johnson is a rookie in this league. So do you think that Nick Sirianni has kind of assumed the play calling roles more again, just to try and take something off of Brian Johnson's plate with him being a rookie?
Well, he needs to stop. It's not working.
Hey, Mr. Medicals, do you have any update on Swift?
I'll get right on that.
Well, we're going to have to bring music back for that once you do. I didn't see anything yet as of that, but bro, he got rocked. Yeah, my other thing is, do you guys bring back Jalen after the situation was? I thought I was like, bro, just leave him on the sideline.
Wait, when are you talking about?
When he stepped out of the field, headed to the locker room. I would have loved to see what Mariota, just to give him some reps, just let him.
I agree, but
James lost already, dog.
I do feel like it put me a little bit at ease, the fact that he stepped back out on that field, because had he not come back, I know I'd be kind of worried this week that he wouldn't be ready to go versus Dallas. But, I mean, you know how Nick Sirianni is. He doesn't like to give anything in the game plan. So if you don't put Jalen back in that game and you make it seem like Jalen's questionable all week, meanwhile he is, you know, able to play, that could have been a part of Nick's game plan.
Now, we didn't get an opportunity to talk about the fact that we would bring back Ertz. You know that if you go to his socials, you know that he actually, you know, because that's how.
You mean Julie's husband?
Yeah, Julie's husband.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, at the end of the day, that's really what it's about.
Congratulations on your wedding, Lucky.
If you go to Zach Ertz's recent likes, his last like is the signing. He liked the signing of Shaq Leonard to the Eagles. And some people are saying that's a tip that he comes back. Now, David says, I say bring in Ertz, run two tight end schemes, but I don't trust the offensive coordinator to actually call it. Are you, it's a yay or nay from you guys on bringing back Ertz.
Yeah, man. I'm all in on bringing Ertz back. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? I mean, he is a guy that obviously has a ton of history here. I think he's got really reliable hands. And for the run that we're trying to make, he's absolutely – I would trust Ertz over Calcaterra or, you know –
You're going to get rid of your son?
Albert O or any of those guys right now, yeah.
But it's funny that guys like Albert O and Jack Stoll were open this week. Is he going to throw
Jack
to them?
Jack Stoll, and I say this with all the respect in the world, he's Garrett Stubbs. That's who Jack Stoll is. He is a personality in the locker room, man.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident that the Eagles are going to bring back Ndamukong Suh?
What was that?
On a scale of 1 to 10. How confident are you that the Eagles are going to bring back Ndamukong Suh?
I put it at like a 6. I think that I don't think it's a locked in thing that happened, but I'm leaning in the direction that it will.
Elliot says Jalen had moments where he had large amounts of time to throw the ball. I have a hard time believing no one was open, to include the check down, taking sacks from holding the ball too long is very frustrating. If you sit there with a clock, you can do it yourself. You see how long he has to throw. I don't know what's going on with these.
Dude, you gotta like, you remember what defensive line we're going up against, right? You got Javon Hargrave. You got Nick Bosa. Like, this is not something that you hold onto the ball for 5-6 seconds. You have to get that.
The fact that they were blocking that long, you're like,
yeah. And that was kind of crazy. I know that you guys were, you know, in the game, so you don't have access to the replays like the people watching the broadcast at home. But there was a lot of confusion on that offensive line as to why Jalen hadn't thrown that ball, because offensive linemen, just like the quarterbacks, have like their own sort of body clock that's going on. And after 5-6 seconds, they assume that Jalen has just got rid of that ball. And then I saw several plays where guys are kind of like, you know, easing up on the block, and they don't even know that Jalen still has the ball behind them. So like, It's just that miscommunication and lack of cohesiveness.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now, Darling says, is Jalen under pressure to throw to AJ and Devontae, and he isn't looking for anyone else to be open? I don't know if he's we call it eye banging the wide receiver. I feel like, you know, he was looking that direction of Stoll, and I was like, dude was open for a good split 3 seconds. And again, like all the beats are, if you go out and check out all the beats, I've got cut ups, you can see it for yourself. You don't have to listen to anyone on a podcast or any analyst. If you go back and watch the film, see it for yourself, and you know his coaches have told him what to see or what he's missing. It's fine. It's fine. Resident Gingerbread Man, shout out to you. Make sure you go follow him. Look at the Avi. Look at the updated. They both update. JR updated his Avi. Look at him with Jennifer Slay. You guys are Jenny. Dogs. Jenny. Oh man,
I'm feeling like the opposite of this right now. Like if there was a polar opposite to this, that's me right now.
Troxel says D came with no balls and grit. 49ers came with the focus on and off the field, mind games, backed up all the comments and bitching and gave us apps. Hope we learn from it. My thing is, when you do come with the ass whooping and you bring the mind games, not just a week of it. We're talking about a year of it. Year of it. You don't like to put bulletin board material out there, but when they came with bulletin board material and the black outfits, and you came to Philly, and, I mean, and you dressed, and they dressed up Rocky. For all you touch Rocky, you see what happens.
No, it was ugly, man. And I don't know. The vibe was the vibe was off from the get go with the whole parking lot situation, man. It was a weird vibe all day.
I'm not gonna even lie, bro. There was nobody out there tailgating.
Yeah.
Right?
For a while. A
long time.
At least until noon.
Richard said Quez didn't have a bad game. Can we trust? Yo, when he throws I these bad calls will happen, but I thought that was a flag. Mm-hmm. But I didn't like the way that Quez went to attack the football again. Just doesn't really go up there with the strength that I like to see from. It has nothing to do with like a size thing, because I see Devontae go on after the ball a little bit more with his hair on fire. Man. David says Howie should be screaming at coaches for effing his built team up. Okay. word on Goddard. Have you guys seen anything on Goddard? He said he's in his own words, he's about 85% to 90%. He said it's feeling pretty good. I think he should be back. I think with the way that they're, hey man, you bracket AJ. I think you can't, you know, when Goddard comes back, it's not as easy to do that. I think that should help the middle of the field a little bit.
LVE is taking a step back too, man. He's that Leighton Vander Esch is not the same linebacker as he was in years past. So that's definitely a guy that you could beat. Hmm.
That's the best one. Put Big Dom at linebacker.
What do you think Big Dom's 40 time is?
I don't know, man. You know, he played football at Penn State.
I'm sure he did, man. He's got a football player's build.
Bro, I don't even know what to say, man. I don't even know what to say.
Hey, man. I think what we can say is that we're still the best record in the league. We have our biggest rival coming up this week, and we have an opportunity to really put some distance between us and them and kind of lock in that the division and get some more distance on the first spot. So got to shake it off, man. It's all you can do is shake it off and move on to the next one. We're not going to win every game. I mean, you think about all the teams in history, like this is still a team with a great winning percentage right now, man. I think that realistically, we could still walk away from the season with 14 wins.
I'm reading Bob from Down Under's comment in his accent. We had a fourth string linebacker out against their three Pro Bowlers, for fuck's sake. Mm-hmm. You want to do that in accent?
No.
Marissa makes a good comment here. Would you agree that the Eagles still haven't found their identity?
Not really. I didn't
offensively?
Know.
Offensively?
I guess there is a lack of an identity on the offense.
I really couldn't describe what our offense is. It's just like a it's a mixed bag of
it is.
It's kind of a mixed bag. It's not like a ground and pound. It was for the first couple of weeks. It was a ground and pound and laid out in the fourth quarter. But it's just big plays made by our players more than schemes. I mean, some of the plays, you know, we were 7-for-7 the last couple of weeks, and then we threw up some duds this week. But Robert is having a tough time. We are literally blowing our Super Bowl window. Cap Super Bowl with these rookie coordinators coaching. Embarrassing. Robert is on fire tonight.
Yeah, I mean, he's right, man. I think that, like I said, I would like an offensive coordinator that would have had some experience heading into the season.
Wealthy Mind says, I'm going to be that guy and go there and ask the question. Do you think the type of play calling on offense and defense and that kind of effort we put out was intentional to hide our hand come playoffs? Nah, that was just an ass whooping.
Yeah. I don't think that we're hiding anything and trying to, you know, get it by into the playoffs. There's no way that, especially when they started dumping on us, that they would have been okay with just taking that ass whooping like that. I think that the Eagles were genuinely trying their hardest and just got embarrassed.
Marissa says, loss sucks in Dallas because I'm surrounded by the dum-dums, so we have to win. My thing is, like, if you lost to a San Fran team, but you cannot lose to a Dallas team. This is, you know, they're one game behind us now. You got the Cowboys. You got the 49ers chomping at the bit. So mm-hmm. Eagles got to stand pat. And you look at the rest of the schedule. After that, it's Seattle. You got a Cardinals team. You got the Giants twice.
Yeah. And by the way, Timothy Santiago, we see you in the comment section. We see you. Good for you.
What did he say?
he's commented like 7 times the same thing about the 49ers going to the Super Bowl. Brock's the best. Blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
Have your moment, bro. You earned it. I'm not knocking your comments down.
more power to you. You can be a Brocky stan. Brocky played well.
He did.
Brocky played real well. God, man. My thing, I said, I was having a conversation. The way the 49ers are playing and the way that the contract structure of Brock Purdy is mm-hmm. being a Mr. Relevant. Mm-hmm. That's like how many cheap years to come?
Well, I mean, he's only got since he's a seventh round, he's a four-year contract, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure.
Two more years.
But that's how you win with a quarterback on a cheap deal, just like we had with Jalen. But here's what it is. Richard is calling Evan Hollywood Herm out. He says, Gale follows me. Prime follows me, but Hollywood won't. What's up with that, Evan?
I don't know. I didn't know I was doing it on purpose.
Ever since we found out you drank wine.
Yeah, yeah. I just went Hollywood.
man, shout out to Trox. We love you too, bro. Let's see. In terms of tailgate information, we're gonna be away for the next two games, and then it's Christmas.
How are we supposed to do this toy drive?
Yeah, we're trying to figure this out because with the way that the weather was set up, you know, having a tree out there, we had ornaments ready. We had a 4th and John star made by the crafty John himself.
It's a shame.
So we're going to have to figure this out, but that's what we'll do because we're not having a tailgate on Christmas. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be real people, real good people. let's see, man. I know this is this. We can go on and on, but any other points that you want to bring out before we go to some of these questions in the chat?
Hey, man. I'll start just because I know that there's a lot of people in the comments that are talking about. Can we knock it off with the negativity? I'm sorry. I don't mean to come off as whiny and annoyed at this game, but I am annoyed by this game. You know, I agree with you that we shouldn't be down though. Ultimately, like I said, we're 10-2, got the best record in the league. It was a bad loss, but I still have all the confidence in this team. I think we're going to go back to the Super Bowl, and it all starts with making the right step next week. I'm sorry.
I like that. Look, we've been following this team all over the damn country. We've been talking about them for how many days out of this year? If we have a great staff, we have a great team, a lot of great leadership on this team. We have Jalen Hurts, who's dealt with some injuries. We're lucky to have him. The fact that he got knocked out of the last game for a little bit, I was like, man, when Mariota stepped on the field, I was like, I don't know about life after Jalen, because I don't know, like what that looks like. But again, there's no flinch. I wouldn't get on a damn plane to Dallas, eat their damn barbecue. If I didn't think we were going to go down there and right the ship. Some people might be out there questioning things, but two losses on the year. If you thought you would lost the 49ers out of this gauntlet run, catch one L out of that run, you'd say that's a pretty good run through the gauntlet, correct?
I would say, yeah.
Yeah. Brian is speaking in existence. Mm-hmm. Sue is coming to the Eagles again.
I hope so.
We will find out.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Was that reported again? Anything?
Nah. Just light stuff. That's all.
Big one. I want to give a big shout out to Concha Hawk and Italian Bakery for powering the tailgate. They were on fire with the pies this week. They had the Sean Jackson tomato pie. Mm-hmm. That came out of nowhere. They had the Jalen Carter Breadman tomato pie for the first time. Josh Sweat pie. They killed it. But shout out to them. Make sure you go follow them on all socials. If you guys need a tomato pie, hit them up. And I know Prime would love the cookies because dude wanted to not even give the cookies.
I saw them bad boys sitting in the window. I was like, hell no, keep them right there.
Shout out to Bud Light for holding us down and supporting us with the damn Bud Light. Shout out to Rebel as well. The Rebel has become a hit.
Yeah.
Red Bull's because I was like, I
didn't have my Red Bull, and I was wondering why I was so tired.
I'm really trying not to lose my cool on Timothy here, man. He just needs to stop, bro.
I didn't even see Timothy's comment yet, but
he's got his caps lock on. I think his keyboard's broken.
we went through like 350 cans of Red Bull.
Damn,
that's a lot of Red Bull.
When Sunday?
Yeah,
I didn't even know we had that much.
That's a lot of Red Bull. Ev's like, I didn't even know how much we didn't have that much. I should have had one at home, one case for me. We have questions here. And a cool tone asks, how do you feel about Roger Goodell saying he hopes the brotherly shove gets no more love ever? Is it him or other owners on his back?
Both. I think Roger Goodell is, he's a puppet for the owners. He works for the owners. So I bet you they are lobbying in his ear to get that out of here. And I don't know, man. When the commissioner says something like that, it holds a different type of credence. So it made me kind of think that this could be the last year of the brotherly shove.
Yeah, that's how I'm looking at it as well, man. I mean, they just don't keep on crying about it. So it is what it is. They just mad because they can't do it. And I mean, I think that it would definitely be sticking around if all the teams could figure out a way how to go ahead and benefit from us, but they can't.
Ultimately, thinking though, like, I still think that if you were to eliminate the pushing of Jalen Hurts, I still think that Jalen is strong enough, and you know, we have enough ripples off of that we could still get it done.
Yeah. Let's see. How about a last word before we get out of here? Shout out to everybody in the chat. Appreciate it.
Especially Timothy Santiago. I want to see you in this chat again. No, listen, man, show up, bro. Please show up after the playoff game. I don't want you running away and, you know, running to your little 49ers podcast when you guys lose the playoffs. I want you to show up right back here, okay? See you in a month.
AJ has the best idea for people trying to get in the good spirits. Go listen to the Eagles Christmas album. How about that?
Vander
Esch
is out for the season.
Yeah, he is out for the season. We still going with the last word?
Yeah.
We did like seven of them.
going with the last word because we out of here.
Look, man, just let's find a way to get over this shit, get our heads high again, you know what I mean? Get ready for this Dallas weekend. And Timothy, you're always going to be number one in my book, bro. All right? Because Evan done already chewed your ass out, so I'm just going to leave it at that. All right? Happy holidays.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I'm in the same sort of boat. That loss sucked. But ultimately, at the end of the day, good teams they lose games too. Shit happens. Just got to bounce back, shake it off. I'm confident that we'll be back in the Super Bowl, so we'll be good.
Ooh, Evan said it with his chest. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, other teams like let's see who were in the Super Bowl last year that lost the game this week. The Chiefs lost another one. So teams will lose games again. We are confident that the Eagles are going to right the ship. Shout out to Philly Sports Trips for making this trip happen. If you want to join us on one of these tailgates in Dallas, go to phillysportstrips.com. If you want to join us for the pep rally, let us know. We'll be there as well. Hopefully the vibes. I'm looking forward to being in Dallas. First time ever in Dallas. Again, I'm getting me some barbecue. We're going to get the shit talking going. Prime is going to be the leader.
Have you reset your barbecue palate? Because I know when we were leaving KC, we were like, I think I've had enough barbecue for like a couple weeks now.
I'm not going to Dallas for barbecue, man. I'm going to Dallas, you know, for the space and the shit talk.
He's like, it's a business trip. We need our Dom of Fourth and John to like set the tone. So I want the barbecue to be, you know.
Trust me, tone is set. From the time I get off that plane, that tone is set.
Marissa not giving it enough praise. Dustin says hi, by the way.
Yeah, Marissa, Dustin says hi.
Let's see. Rackshack says fellow Dallas Nave originally here. Rackshack's from Dallas. I always forget that, dude.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I was trying to get my brother to go, man, but you know what I mean?
So, is your mom going?
My mom was supposed to go. I don't know what happened there.
Just me and you?
Mom, just know that I'm there, bro. That's all that.
Hey, I'm telling you, just like the X-Men, we're going to be ready. Head on a swivel.
I'll be ready.
You know, yeah, man, we appreciate you guys in the comments as always. Thanks for sticking around, keeping the energy regardless of the L. Eagles are 10-2 ahead of everyone. So as long as the Eagles keep doing their thing, they control their own destiny. And at the end of the day, it's always fly, Eagles fly. And we'll see you in the next one.